Shalom, and welcome to Bible Stories as Blueprints of the Soul, your Biblical Hebrew podcast. Christian Fernando, and let's start. Yes?
Okay. Hello, everybody. I was... Eti, I have a question. So the question is about Heidegger. Since we are reading Heidegger, we have that story that Heidegger was not opposed, or even worse, he maybe collaborate with the regime in Germany in the during the Second World War. He was like a well-known teacher, and he stayed with the regime. So what do you think about it?
This is a very valid and good question. And here you can see that there's a split here. What happens when you see reading the text on one hand, on the other hand, in daily life, he's cooperating, let's say, with the Nazis, with the regime, with the government. So we can see here a split. The identified personal Heidegger, which is parts of him are identified with the policy of the government that was elected in Germany almost 100 years ago, and the impersonal. So, like two layers, impersonal, like the language, and there's, good evening, Yanis, we're so happy to see you here. So there is impersonal, and this is the language, for example, and there is like a little narrow, tiny, miserable, which is identified with the self that was born somewhere, identified with the story, with the nation, and so on, with the narrative. So there is no problem, if you can see that. There is no problem. Like we mentioned before, once the language would like to be spoken, or the language does not care from which body, mind, or we call it gatekeeper, it will appear, pop, create. It does not matter for us, because our brain is like all the time cataloging, categorizing, trying to sort, to make sense. So we say this is belong to that, and this is, it doesn't work like that. At all. When language or the source wants to express itself, for the source it doesn't matter through which, what kind of vehicle or instrument it will express itself. So we can see poetry, we can see Heidegger, we can see art, we can see art coming, but we are saying artist. Yes, we can see poeting with ing, because it is how it is, it never stops. But we are cutting like four walls around the name, and we say a poet, a teacher, and so on. But it's not like that. It's all the thing. We are cutting, categorizing, sorting, how do you say, dictionaries being opened, words are being put, and so on, but it's not like this at all. Language is just being spoken all the time, but people during the generations are what? Opening dictionaries, categorizing, translating, trying to conceive, trying to, how do you say, to embrace all language in all times possible. Therefore, there are so many books, so many translations from different languages to different languages, from bucket to bucket, as the sages describe translation from bucket to bucket, from language to language. So it is quite interesting, because there's all the time incidents, or that we can see that there's like, maybe for the field of psyche, Fernando, it's quite interesting because there is a lower level, which is a personal identification. It's a very, very narrow story. And there's impersonal in all of us. So you can see, how do you say, the frequency. So in some people, there is more expression of the impersonal. Yes, so it's more vast. Being with them, the experience is getting broader and deeper and vaster and also unlimited. So when the identification is so strong that when you are with them, it feels very narrow, it's very dense, and you feel it like an elephant in the, how do you say, in a menagerie shop, like an elephant in Chinese shop, like the meaning is like very little tiny movement, and you out of the walls of recognitions of others because you break their form of identity. Once we were hosted by a family in Germany, it was like afternoon. I think it was November or so, also. It's autumn, almost winter. And they were offering coffee, and we sat there. And the conversation was about, let's say, the cookies or that they made it the same day and the children and so. But there was no room for something else. It was this is how the daily experience this afternoon in the autumn, in the winter. At certain times, there's a coffee and cookies or so. There's a conversation around the children, or and nothing else, nothing else. Of course, you cannot be in this space more than a couple of minutes. So after a while, we just drink, and you cannot speak. You cannot speak freely because, let's say, if we would speak like we speak here, it would break the life completely. What? Is it possible? No, life is like you go to work, you get your salary, you plan your life, what you want to get from life, A, B, C, D, E, F, G. And there's like vacation according to the calendar and so on. This is it. So again, the more people are identifying with the narration, with the story, it becomes very dense and condensed, and it's impossible to even open a conversation about anything. Everything they know, it's about the narration, it's about how they perceive life, how life's supposed to serve them. So there is all the time mobility and movement between the personal and the impersonal. The more impersonal attitude we find, the more easy. I mean, it's easier it is becoming. It's just many, many walls of lies are falling, and everything just expand, and there is no fear, and there is no doubt, and so. So it's very simple, very, very simple. The more identification there is, now it doesn't matter who. It becomes heavier, narrower, narrow, more narrow, how do you say? Unbearable, painful. The less personal it is, or impersonal, the more impersonal it is, it's great because it's not dependent on any condition. So what happens is that if you happen to see or meet people, you find like sometimes moment when people really identify with the story. How do you know that they identify with the story? Even if you say hello to someone you don't know, yeah, they will tell you immediately what happened to them this morning, and so on. It's and how it's so, I don't know how to express it even. Yes. It's very, very simple. So the more there is identification, there is more pain. Yes, the more, because it's like it's very narrow. It's also not true. But in the book, the language, we can see this is impersonal completely. So there's no problem with it. So there is an expression of impersonal. And like a few years later, yes, you can see very personal expression. And then he aligns with the party, with the election in Germany, with the new regime, with the new po you see? What
Yes,
would
it.
you say about the psychologically, Fernando?
Well, it is so complexity, and I really think about this topic, and I like that you could nail it, bringing like with a great sense of reality. It is difficult, but I can give you an example. I had to watch, because it was I mean, the context doesn't matter, but it was not a choice. But I had to watch a TED Talk, and
A TED Talk.
you know that TED Talk, I think in 2019, and so it was quite in the internet was quite famous talks that was given from people, and I had to watch one or two, and it is incredible, you know, because this one that I w watched, it is just like the personal story, you know, and it is a lie. Because you can see that people are putting in a frame to said, you know, I almost died, and so I start walking, and I climbed the Everest, and not so only the Everest, all the great mountains in the world. And what, you know? And I was watching that, and then thinking, okay, but you know, the personal is quite narrow, and it is a lie, just like you said, it is not. It doesn't matter because it's not real, just like you said. And when we talk about the ideas, we are not talking about people, we are talking about what manifests, what's come from beyond, right? So the truth needs to be said independently which mouth pronounce it. It's the truth, right? It doesn't matter the personality. If it is the truth, it's the truth. And we live in a world that like the personality instead of the truth, right? So the second thing, in philosophy, we have a great problem, if I can remember, that I passed it through one or two times, that is about like, well, if you want to see the philosophy of someone, you need to see his life. This was like a claim, you know.
Really?
And yes, I heard this once or two before, but this is partially true. It's not an entirely lie. It's not something absurd, but it makes me think, listening to you, that you know, in the impersonal, because if we take like Nietzsche, you know, Nietzsche, he speaks about the great man, like the superhuman, and so on and so forth. But he was like a weak man, maybe people describe him, and he suffered from syphilis and so on. So many people attack his philosophy, saying, well, look at his life, you know. He speaks about this superhuman, but he's not, you know. It's interesting. It's interesting. It's an interesting topic, you know.
It's interesting because, thank you, Fernando. We were mentioning that in Germany, they reached at the 19th century, beginning of the 20th century, the great humanism. That was just the great humanism, expression of humanism. What happened a few years later? The greatest expression of dehumanization. Send people into the ovens and so send nations into war for many, many years. So, you see, once people declare, how do you say, declare themselves as kings, as the most humanized, let's say, creatures ever lived, it will not take that long that you will see the opposite picture. Or we shall see.
Wow, this is amazing. Yes, I totally agree with this. And we are seeing this right now, right? Just in this present moment. We are the people that fight for liberty, and we are the good side, and you see they're doing all the kinds of craziness. So this is interesting. When you think that you own what is good, what is the best, it's not true, right? This is not personal. This is not to be owned.
Yes. Yes. It's just movement, and just is moving through us. Yes, we are not over time. Yes, but the spirit moves. This is how it comes. It is very, very interesting that the Europeans, more than anyone else, used to go with such a pride, express intellect in everything. We're good in philosophy, we're good in, how do you say, music, poetry, and so on, literature. There isn't any other expression in life but us Europeans, and it did not take a long time, and everything just went the other direction, in all frontiers. Yes, it is funny. Have you considered even why people call themselves? This is the greatest joke. Why to call someone humanist? Yes? Why to call humanist? IST at the end comes from human and then humanist. But why? Do you call a monkey monkeyist? Do you call a turtle turtleist? What is it? It's just funny. It's just funny. They try to put humans under, how do you say, a definition, yes? So funny. Now I would like to relate to Hannah's prayer. Hannah, the mother of Samuel Shmuel. There is an expression that we are hearing it first time. Read about. Have you heard this term before from Hannah's prayer, Tzevaot? Why does she call the infinite Tzevaot? Do you remember that or not? She is praying. Have you heard this before? Not sure. Let's bring the verse. One second. The quote. Yes, let's see. Let's see. Tfilat Chana of Chana. It appears many times in the Bible. But what does it mean? Yes, this is here. Samuel 1, chapter 1. Yes, and she is asking for a son, and she calls God Tzevaot. Tzevaot, let's find it. Samuel 1. One. Can you find it, Fernando? Because I'm now trying, but it does not come. Samuel 1:1, maybe Yannis. Samuel 1. We're looking for it. Have you heard the word before, tzevaot, or not really? Tzevaot?
Yes, for sure. I can remember, you know, but I'm trying, since I'm on my mobile, I'm struggling as well to find the verse.
Yes, yes, I see. I found it. Yes, I'll put the Hebrew here and also the English. Then she's going to pray for the being tzevaot. Hashem Tzevaot, this is the English, and now I'll put, I mean, first came the Hebrew, and now let's put the English. You can read the English if you like. Yes.
And this man went up out of his city from year to year to worship and to sacrifice unto the Lord of hosts in Shiloh. And the two sons of Eli, Hophni and Phinehas, were their priests unto the Lord. So we can see that the translation here brings like Lord of hosts. I read also like Lord of armies and so on. People translate Tzevaot as army as well as hosts or something like this.
Yes, yes, yes. That's right. Tzevaot. Tzevaot is a plural of tzava, which is army. So tzevaot are armies. But what happens is, if we are awake to, in those moments between the last moment of the night, because this is the darkest hour at four before the sun rises. There is a movement from very, very dark until the first light is coming in the sky. This is dawn, those moments between greatest darkness to the first light. And with the first light, suddenly there's like a pillar. We call it Amud HaShachar, the pillar of dawn. And every moment, more and more colorations appearing in the sky. So in the Babylonian Talmud, there is a beautiful description how it is very, very dark, and what is the when you notice the dawn, they give all kinds of marks. But the movement is really, really crucial, because from completely dark comes a bit of light. They call it the pillar of dawn, and from there is expansion of so many colors, and you can sit with the sunrise every morning and see how it comes. How does the sun in a way suddenly emerges? It's not for the eyes of the beholder, for us, because for itself the sun is always there. Yes, but in dawn the light emerges from darkness. And suddenly we can see expressions of so many colors coming together and next to each other. Great orange or great rose or sometimes very red. Depends on the clouds and on the seasons or if it's wet or so. Many, many colors are emerging. So, and this is interesting, because because here it says Tzevaot, we translate it as armies or hosts. Tzava, when Tzava is army, or also Etzba. Etzba is finger. So, and David says, please teach my fingers to war. And this is, it's not really Psalms that are in. So we say Tzava, Tzadi Bet Aleph is army. But what happens if there is a replacement? Instead of Aleph, yes, we put Ein, and this is Tzeva. Tzeva is color with Ein. Why do I bring this change? Tzeva, army, Etzba, finger, and Tzeva is color. In Arabic, how do we say morning? How we say morning in Arabic? Quite interesting. In English, we say morning. We say, yes, jia, yeah, deo, or so. Morning? How do we say morning in Arabic? Color. Color. Sabah. Sabah el khair. There is a beautiful bird called sabia. In Brazil, sabia. Once, I think you mentioned it, there's a bird called sabia. Yes. Reminded me of morning in Arabic. So, how do you say morning in Arabic? Sabah. Sabah el khair. Sabah el khair. It's like good morning, but it means colors. Yeah, you see, a bird that sings in the morning. Yeah. It comes from tseva. So, why do they say sabah? Yes, sabah is morning. Because suddenly you can distinguish what? Colors. Why we can distinguish colors? Because it's not fully dark. So what is tzevaot? And the movement between the ayin and is an expression of all manifestation. So they go to Shiloh, yes? This is what the verse says. And they go to worship to the being in its greatest manifestation in Shiloh. So what is Tzevaot? The full spectrum of manifestation. You can say armies, you can say hosts, you can say colors, because colors, they represent the whole manifestation possible. So Elkanah, in this case, yes, he goes from his town to worship, yes, and to bow to the being with its all manifestations in Shiloh. Yes, yes, Tzevaot. Tzevaot, every color is a sign, Tzevaot, like this. Tzeva is color. Every sign. Tzeva, Tzevaot. Yeah, army of letters of excellent. Excellent, Fernando. Armies of letters of signs or colors. Yes? Excellent. Because all of those are what? Are a mirror for the manifestation. So here we find the being, Tzevaot. Hashem Tzevaot, the being Tzevaot, the being in its manifestation. Because being is always there, is a background, is zero, is nothing. But the being, when it comes into manifestation, Tzevaot, comes many colors, many armies, many signals, letters, signs, and so on, many notes. Yes? This is the meaning of Tzevaot. Yes, manifestation linked to Hashem. Excellent. Yes. Any questions, Yanis, Fernando?
And I'm just thinking that it's interesting that we can feel this energy in the morning, like in the first rays of light, if you have the great of opportunity to feel this, even if you are tired, you know some people work at night or so, or you are traveling at night. When it's coming, you feel like a renew, because
yes, yeah.
We can see the life pulsing, you know, without anyone pulling the strings, you know, it is natural, it's being, it just comes.
Yes, yes. They say, it's interesting, because every word in Hebrew you can play or remove letters or play with them. Boker is morning. But when you rearrange the letters, it's like, how do you say, grave. So what is morning? When the light comes, it basically, the grave of the night is over. Because the night, it's so dark that there is a sense of everything is mute, is dead, nobody's moving, there is no life, people going to sleep in their home. So the night feels like a great cave or a great graveyard. And suddenly comes the morning. And those are the same letters. Those are the same letters, both morning, kever, grave. And there's a beautiful midrash that is dancing on those letters. When the three angels, you and the Bahir, yes, we can think, were they angels or messengers? Because the Hebrew says, this is a side question. Malachim came to visit Abraham in the third day. But this is a side question. So when the angels, Malachim, are coming to visit Abraham, there is a verse that says, Ve'el ha-bakar ratz Avraham. Bakar is any kind of cow, male cow. Yes? Male cow. How do you say in English male cow? I don't have the word now, but Ve'el ha-bakar, says the chapter, Ve'el ha-bakar, Ratz Avraham. So he was hurrying to make them a meal. So running to the male cow, like to slaughter and to serve his guests a meal. And the Bible says, Ve'el ha-bakar, Ratz Avraham. And he ran to fetch a meal for the new guests, which are coming. And a bull, yes, a bull, thank you. But the Bible is like, how do you say, gentle, so he writes Bakar. Bakar is a general name, yes, for all cows. And the one who is working with the cows, cowboy, is called in Hebrew Boker, from Boker. It's very interesting, Bakar, Boker. Anyways, Ve'el ha-bakar ratz Avraham, he is running to fetch a meal for the new guests which are appearing. And the Midrash says one thing. He was running to fetch for the new guest, and a calf or a young bull was running in front of him. Look how the sages are weaving Midrashim and teaching us how to look very, very carefully, because the verse says, Ve'el ha-bakar ratz Avraham. He ran into the cows, where the cows are grazing, or bulls, to fetch a meal. But, and here comes the Midrash, and says, while Abraham was running to fetch a meal, to catch some kind of a living cow, there was a young calf, that was running in front of him. Abraham is running, but in front of him is running. So, and Abraham is running after him, and the calf continued to run, and Abraham is running after him, until the calf stopped running. And Abraham noticed that he is standing in a cave. And what is the name of the cave, which is known to you from the book of Genesis? Which cave is known by its name in the book of Genesis? Machpelah. Yes. When the calf stopped running, Abraham noticed that they are standing in Marata Machpelah. Now, to those who already read the story, what is happening when the story progresses in Maharat HaMakhpela, what kind of a place is it? Is it a museum? What happens in Maharat HaMakhpela? Places of the four. Yes. Yes, Kiryat Arba. And what is it there? What is it? A vineyard is planted there. People are buried. Excellent. People are buried. So there are graves there. So you see Boker, morning, Bakar. Bakar is also where all the cows are. And there's suddenly, when we replace the letters, there's kever, grave. So you see, El HaBakar Ratz Avraham. He runs to the cows to fetch a meal, but a calf, a young calf, is running in front of him, running. And Abraham just wants to find his calf, and calf continue running, and he stops. And when he stops, this is the revelation of Maharat HaMakhpela, which later will be a grave. Will be a mention of grave. Yes, so you see how ancient ones are weaving lores and legends, because Bakar are the same letters as Kever. Yes, grave from Bakar, the male cow, for the grave of Maharat HaMakhpela. And this is quite interesting because this lore says that Abraham discovered Maharat HaMakhpela. Like you could say, a burial. People used to bury people in caves. And this is happening, according to the lore, while the angels are coming to tell him three good news. We can decide if they're not. One of them, that he's going to heal after the circumcision, and one of them that he's going to have a son, or his wife will have a son next year, and one of them is they going to opposite Sodom. And this is very interesting, and you can see, Fernando, when, and also Johannes, it works like codes. You could see how from those three letters of Bakar, they compose a completely deep, to already to tell us that already in this moment, because at this moment when Abraham is 99 years old. Yes, he's 99 years old. But they will use this information about the cave. He will want to buy the cave. It will be only when Sarah passes, and it will be after the binding of Isaac, meaning if Isaac was binded at 37, and year before the angels are coming, so only 38 years later, according to the lore, Abraham is using the information and act on it. He buys Maharat HaMakhpela as a mention to bury generations inside. And this is how, generally, how the lores, the legends are working. Yes, Fernando, it is a door to the infinite. Amazing how many hyperlinks can be found in one verse. This is what they say. They say, don't read the verse Ve'el HaBakar Ratz Avraham, and to the bull or to the cow he ran, or for the calf. Ve'el HaBoker, and he was running for the morning, to find the morning. He was running to find the morning. He was running to find illumination, not to find the male cow. Yes, because it depends of how do we read the Hebrew letters, in what kind of nikud pronunciation. El HaBakar, it will be a male cow. And Ve'el HaBoker, herein, for the morning. Yes. in one word, and you see how it swings and direction all the time. Now, this is a question that comes, and I would like to ask all of us here. Hamal Achim, the angels that came to visit Abraham on this day, according to the book of Bahir, according to the distinction of Sefer Bahir, were they angels or messengers? Because the Hebrew Bible says Malachim, but Sefer Bahir makes distinction between Malachim, angels, and messengers, Shlichim. So thank you so much for joining us today. We wish you a very, very good and beautiful year with a lot of love and heart. Yes, yes, Yanis. Most welcome. You're most welcome. All the best, dear friend, and see you as soon as possible. Have a good time. Enjoy life. It's beautiful. Toda ולהתראות. Thank you for listening to Bible Stories as Blueprints of the Soul, your Biblical Hebrew podcast. For more information, articles, videos, and interactive classes, please visit hebrew.learnoutlive.com or join our YouTube channel. Shalom v'chol tov. Thank you.